And thank you for coming out tonight. Good crowd for a Sunday night. Hope all of you have had a great afternoon. We're able to spend some time out in that beautiful afternoon we had. Glad you've come back here tonight to study your Bibles. I want to talk tonight. This lesson was one that was not on the schedule. If you get emails from me on the email list that members of the congregation are on, if you have email, you're on that list, you probably get a copy of the schedule of sermons that I used to try to plan ahead, and I'm pretty well planned into September at the moment, but that plan is there, and it's a good helpful suggestion to give your preacher some discipline to know what he's working on for the week ahead. Because Mondays used to be terrible. You'd come in, oh man, what am I going to preach on next week? I don't have to do that anymore, and that's kind of nice. But I wanted to work this lesson in tonight on modern dancing in today's Christian. And there are some reasons for that. And I want to say, we've got some teenagers here tonight. You guys know that I love you all dearly. And it wasn't too long ago that I was sitting out there where you are and had to listen to some preachers preach on this topic. I can remember, even those few short years ago, my dislike for those lessons. Well, now the role is reversed. Here I am. I'm going to try to deliver to you some thoughts tonight on this. And I want to say as we get into this, I hope every one of us here, even as parents, grandparents, whatever, that as we go through this, I want us to really objectively look at the scriptures tonight that we're going to be looking at. Look at them with a "what does God expect" kind of mindset. And what does God desire for me as a Christian in day-to-day life? What kind of standard of excellence does He want from me? And as we think about those things, make those applications with the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. All Christians are called upon to make decisions concerning the practices that they will engage in. God expects us to make our decisions based on His Word. We're to keep Him and His Word first in our lives. We need to accept and practice what Scripture approves and reject what it condemns. Christians have need of being careful because public opinion and what everybody else thinks can influence us to compromise our beliefs in God. And tonight, what our purpose is to take an honest look at modern dancing and base it to the way that Scripture tells us the way that we need to be living. This is, of course, the time when juniors and seniors in high school attend the prom. Many people, religious ones included, have absolutely no problem with their children attending these types of activities. The Bible gives us guidance in this area, and I hope that we will not excuse ourselves in this one area of Christian living, say, well, it doesn't really matter, it's not a big deal, so I'm just not going to care what God has to say in this. Some may disagree with these thoughts tonight, but I want to submit that your disagreement is not with me. It is with the principles found within God's Word. I guess to start things off tonight, we might start off with this one question, and that's everybody. It's on everybody's mind, I guess, as you start a lesson such as this. Is it a sin to dance? Is it a sin? If it is a sin to dance, then where is the Scripture that says, "Thou shalt not dance"? You won't find it. It's not in there. Believe me, I've looked from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a thou shalt not dance. But while you will not find that exact scripture, you will find that the Bible has a lot to say about dancing. The words danced, dance, dances, and dancing appear 24 times in the New American Standard Version of the Bible and 27 times in the New International Version. As you look through the scriptures, you will find that there are 6 different kinds of dancing in Scripture. You can look from Old Testament to New Testament on this and find that, for example, in Judges the 21st chapter and verse 21, there was a festival going on, and during that time we read that there was dancing going on among the children of Israel. Again, at times a festival, you saw dancing going on. According to Psalm 149 and verse 3, Psalm 150 and verse 4, and Exodus chapter 15, verses 19 through 21, Scripture there talks about dancing being done as a form of praise to God. In this instance, all under Old Covenant worship. In Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and verse 4, and also Psalm 30 and verse 11, we find that dancing went on during times of happiness. It was an expression of joy, you know, woohoo, you know, that kind of dancing, where people are exclaiming their jubilation. We also see it, for example, in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and verse 31, where people were rejoicing. And for another example, in the New Testament, in Luke, the 15th chapter, and verse 25, with the prodigal son, when he returned, there was some rejoicing and some dancing going on by the prodigal son's brothers and by his sisters and by the servants in his father's house in the fact that he had come home, that he had returned. And so we have that mentioned there in Luke chapter 15. We also see dancing being done during times of celebration in the Scripture as well. For a Scripture reference in that, you might look in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14. Judges chapter 11 verse 34. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 6. And then, in the New Testament, you also have the kind of dancing that is mentioned in one area, one place, and that is in Matthew, the 14th chapter, and verse 6. And it is believed that the type of dancing that went on here, in this case, was the sensual kind of dancing, where Herod is standing there and he has the daughter of Herodias dance before them in some kind of sensual way. Now, those are the Scripture references to the different kinds of dancing that is within the Scriptures. 6 different kinds there. Now, I want us to understand that when we're talking about modern day dance, and what I'm referring to today, when I talk about modern dance as used in the title of this lesson, we might define that as something which causes suggestive or close body movements causing improper desires. Now, when you have that definition in front of you and you look back on your outline there that was provided for you in the bulletin, and you look back at those 6 different kinds of dancing that are listed out in Scripture, 5 out of those 6 would not fit this definition. 5 out of those 6 kinds of dancing would not be suggestive in nature and things that would cause improper desires. From the Scripture examples that we've looked at thus far, it is evident that some dances are not sinful. But this does not give support to those who condone always going to the school prom or some kind of nightclub. This because some dances are not sinful, it doesn't give them leeway to say, well, I can go out here and do this kind of stuff and dance in this improper kind of way. The dancing that you see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament has nothing. It is in no way, shape, form, or fashion related to much of the dancing that goes on today. Wolf in the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia says, "While the mode of dancing is not known in detail, it is clear that men and women did not generally dance together." And he's talking about in Bible times. "There is no real evidence that they ever did. Social amusement was hardly a major purpose of dancing, and the modern method of dancing by couples is unknown." Now, does this fully answer the question that we started out this section of our lesson together tonight? Is dancing sinful? Probably not. But what it does as we look at this is it does prove that we cannot define or defend modern dancing from the Scriptures. The two just will not add up. Did you know this? Dancing with couples is believed to have originated sometime back in the 12th century. In fact, if you look through the Scripture in the entire Bible, there is not one example of a couple dancing. You just won't find it. Now, let's talk about modern dance and the New Testament. There is some popular modern dances going on these days known as bumping and grinding. And this has been going on at school dances here in Brownsburg. It's a fact. It's well known. And this is the type of dancing where it would be characterized as back-to-front dancing, where a girl gyrates against the pelvis of a boy standing behind her. This type of dancing has been summarized as anything that looks like sex. As I said, this is the type of dancing that was going on at a school dance in Brownsburg last fall. One teen defended this type of dancing as, "I've grown up with it. That's just the way dance is. You have to grow with the times." Dancing in a style with anything that looks like sex is behavior that is not conducive to the child of God, and especially to young people who should not be tempting themselves with that kind of behavior. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and let's read together. It's on the screen, but I really like it when I hear your Bibles turning, because I know you're reading this with me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just objectively look at this together. I want to take an honest look. Read this together with me. We might characterize modern dance as a lust of the flesh, a work of the flesh. Beginning in verse 19, "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, that just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, while your Bibles are open to this passage and we're looking at this together, we're going to break down some words here in the text. Go back, if you will, to verse 19. It's the last word used in that verse. The word sensuality. Now that is as it is translated in the New American Standard Version. The word sensuality, if you're reading out of the King James Version tonight, that word is translated lasciviousness. In the New King James Version, it is translated licentiousness. Basically, what this wording is talking about here is lewdness and sexual excesses. Thayer goes on to define the word here from the Greek, saying that this word refers to filthy words. Look at the next phrase in his definition of this word. Indecent bodily movements and unchaste handling of male and females. Ladies and gentlemen, modern day dancing covers a lot of what's in that definition. Modern day dancing, in a lot of cases, is very sensual in its nature. Paul here in this verse condemns it. Look with me, if you will, down at verse 21. And I want you to focus on the word here in this text that is known as, in the New American Standard, as carousing. It's about the third word over in your text there, verse 21. Carousing, as you look at this verse, causes one not to inherit the kingdom of God. It is mentioned in this, as we might call this, catalog of sin. And if I practice carousing, then I'm not going to make it home to heaven. We might define carousing as excessive feasting and carousing, often related to music and dancing. Look at this next phrase. In some of your Bibles, the terminology is "and such like." Or in the New American Standard, it is "and things like these," Paul says. He's covering his bases here with all kinds of behavior that people might engage in. And that phrase might be defined as the sins that some practice that are of the same nature as specifically mentioned before. Paul used that phrase right here, "and things such as these," to include things that pertain to lewdness or revelries. Now, when you take an honest look at what this passage right here in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21, teaches, especially by looking at the words sensuality and carousing and things such as these, then we have to say that much of the modern day dancing that is going on is indeed a work of the flesh. That could be a tough conclusion, but it's one that you have to come by when you make application of biblical principles to life's scenarios. If the scriptural arguments are not enough, then maybe some principles will help us. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter, for a moment, and look at verse 2. Look at the standard by which we're to live by. And again, as you make your comparisons between one course of action and another, what is the standard that the Christian should partake in? Well, if you look in Romans, the 12th chapter, down in verse 1, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable spiritual service of worship." Look at verse 2. Ladies and gentlemen, this passage is applicable 365, 24/7. It is applicable for the child of God. In every scenario, we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? So that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're to be transformed when we go walk in sensual ways and engage in matters which at the very least are questionable behaviors. Then we are saying that we do not wish to be transformed wholly like we should. Look at verse 9. "Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." Look at verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." These are the standards by which Christians are to live by. Yes, it's a high standard. Yes, there is much to be expected of us. Yes, it's difficult. But I want to suggest to you that anything difficult is worth the work.
heaven is worth the goal of getting there, no matter what we have to do, no matter how we have to say no and not go and do certain behaviors and engage in those things. Turn back to chapter 8 in your Bibles here in Romans. Let's objectively read these together and focus on what God's Word says. And I'm going to have a hard question, but it's one that we've got to ask ourselves. Let's read together. Verse 5, Romans 8. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I want you to see the difference here. It's like daylight and dark between the one carnally minded and the one spiritually minded. Is that kind of distinction made in your life as a Christian, or are you carnally minded? Let's be honest. Which is it? Modern dancing violates Christian principles. I believe modern dancing violates four very basic principles of being a Christian. We're done with the scriptural arguments. Try these principles on for size. For example, modern dancing causes a Christian to place himself in areas of temptation which exposes him to unnecessary risk in his spiritual life. A Christian should strive to avoid every temptation which could put him in a risky situation. And it is my opinion to engage in modern dancing is just to ask for trouble. Jesus' teaching in Luke the 9th chapter, verses 61 and 62, makes it clear that we should not tempt ourselves with sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 teaches us to take heed lest you fall. I want to submit to you, it cannot be denied that modern dancing, the bumping and grinding that goes on, that it does not bring forth temptation. It absolutely does bring forth temptation. And why should the Christian put himself in danger of being tempted? And parents, why should you allow your teens to be put in positions to be tempted and to fall from grace? To fall into sin. Parents have some responsibility here as well. Another principle that dancing violates is that it is not conducive to spiritual living. Look in your New Testaments at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, I'm asking for an objective look here at this. Paul in his writing says, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Verse 22, is it an optional matter? Well, abstain from every form of evil if you want to. Abstain from every form of evil that's easy for you. No, he says, matter-of-factly, abstain from every form of evil. Dancing, ladies and gentlemen, is not conducive to spiritual living. And another principle that dancing causes us to violate is that it arouses emotions which cannot be honorably fulfilled. Placing oneself in an atmosphere and an environment that surround the modern dance causes desire to erupt
And in some cases where that desire can only be fulfilled,
like what married people do,
it causes emotions to be aroused which cannot be honorably fulfilled. And I want to say this, it compromises our influence as a Christian. There's a boy and a girl at a dance. And while dancing, the boy asked the girl, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "No." "Are you?" And he said, "Yes." She then asked, "Then why are you here?"
You know, it's interesting when you look at a lot of people out there in the world that, you know, worldly people can do worldly things, and they have a hard time understanding when we call ourselves Christians that we were going to put away the ways of the world, we're going to do better, and then we decide that we're going to go show up at some place and compromise our principles, and the people of the world stand back and go, Wait a minute. I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were striving to do better. The people out there in the world can see it. And what we do is we walk all over our influence. We trash our influence. And then we wonder why there's a lot of people out there who are not interested in becoming Christians. Well, if they can do that, I'm no different than they are. They're no better than me. Why even try?
Parents, I got some hard questions for you before we close tonight. What can you do to help here? We're what, 3-4 weeks away from prom time at Brownsburg Schools, May 6th, I think it is. Are we having parents that are going to step up and take some leadership and provide some alternatives for our kids? Nothing wrong with getting dressed up. Nothing wrong with putting on a formal or putting on a tux. Nothing wrong with going out to a nice dinner. Nothing wrong with two young people getting together and spending some time together, making some memories as far as those special times. But are we going to encourage our kids to have some kind of alternative to that? It's up to the parents to get that done. We have some parents ready to do that. "Oh, Matt, but it's too late. It's too late this year." Well, maybe it is, but what about next year? Some people go around and don't say anything and silently let their kid go to these kinds of activities and then just hope and pray that nobody else is going to find out, because if they find out, well, everybody's going to get mad at me. If it's questionable, why even let it be done? Why violate your principles as a Christian? Why do that? There are some hard choices to make out there. I can tell you this, it's not
getting any easier. I can say this, that between the 80s and today, it's even gotten worse. And there are kids now at younger and younger ages asking questions and having conversations about things that when I was that age, I would have never, ever even given one thought to. Maybe I was a guy. I don't know. That's not it. But it's amazing at how things have changed. And yet, and you look at our society and how, if how saturated it is with sex. You can't turn on your TV for a minute You can't walk down the street without seeing a billboard. You can't turn on a radio program. You can't go anywhere without it. We've got kids coming up that, and then we're going to go send them off to some questionable kind of event and say, oh no, you just stop when you don't go that far. But yet we're going to give them all the gas. We're going to give them all the gas to start that fire and throw it on that fire and then expect them to stop. This is serious. We need to be more true to our principles as Christians, not willing to compromise as much as we have. Oh, and that's tough. I know it may not always be peaceful in the household either. We need to have some courage. We need to be praying about it. We need to be looking for some healthy alternatives, some godly alternatives. These kinds of events, they can be done. We just got to be looking for it. How about you with your spiritual life tonight? Are you committed to your spiritual life? How committed are you? How real is it to you? Seriously, how real is it? How much does this book and the principles therein really mean to you? And it's one thing to say, I'm a Christian and I go to church three times a week and we base our spirituality on the number of times we come to church and where we sit in the building and all these kinds of things and how much we do our Bible class lessons, but how real is it? How real is heaven to you? How badly do you want to go there? How terrible is hell? Make it real. Give yourself to God tonight. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one tonight. I want to encourage you to stand up for what is right. It may be the hardest thing you've ever done to remain standing while the storms of life beat down on you, but in the long run, heaven's going to be worth every storm that you weathered. Amen? You can start tonight. You say, man, I just don't know how I could ever stand. You could stand not on your own power, but the power of Jesus. The power of His Word. Get started on that journey tonight by becoming a Christian. If you're already a Christian, maybe you've not been living up to these principles, these values. Then do what you need to do tonight to renew your commitment. Don't walk out of here with any ifs. I don't want anybody to base their salvation on, well, I might be saved. Well, I hope I'm saved. I don't know. There's no way to live. You don't have to do that. Make your salvation certain. Your son wants to come forward.